Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, I'm Francis Lamb, and this is Splendid Table Selects, our mini podcast on the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. Our presenting sponsor is Bob's Red Mill. They're an employee-owned company that's offered organic, gluten-free, stone-ground products for decades, and they're experts at making healthy taste amazing. Here's a question. If green bean casserole has to be on the Thanksgiving table because, you know, tradition, how long ago was it that green beans were in season at the end of November? I mean, I don't mean to slander green bean casserole. I'm just saying that the green bean casserole was invented by a woman named Dorcas Riley at the Campbell Soup Test Kitchen in 1955, which, you know, is not exactly at the birth of the Republic, you know what I mean? So why not let yourself taste a little freedom in what you make for your Thanksgiving sides? So for this episode, we brought in the person who's thought more about cooking Thanksgiving than anyone we know. The one and only Lynn Rosetto Casper. Sally Swift, who created our show with her, invited Lynn back into the studio, and you're welcome.
Okay, Lynn Rosetto Casper, where have you been?
Oh, God, you really want to know? I've been in...
Briefly.
All right. Well, first of all, I found out about the wonders of butter, lobster, and bread. I spent some time on the Connecticut coast. And I mean, I've been out and about, and I've been, golly, at political rallies, museums, theater. I've been having a blast, quite frankly. And I've been in my kitchen.
So. I'm so glad to hear that, because we've invited you here because I know you've been spending time in your kitchen. So I'm going to get right to the heart of the matter. The big holiday is coming, and I want us to talk about side dishes, because I think this feels like a year that people should try something new. How about you?
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, there are the old favorites you don't want to touch. The perfect mashed potato. I mean, that's a classic. Something mm-hmm. with yams, Brussels sprouts. But what you can do with these things, I mean, this is my premise. I could steam, boil, or roast a vegetable a day or two ahead, put it in the fridge, but then have a collection of flavoring combinations that I also do ahead. You know, there's a traditional topping in Italy called gremolata. And what this mm-hmm. Is usually lemon rind and garlic and parsley and olive oil. I do a slightly different take on it. What I do is garlic and a lot of lemon juice and chopped red onion. And you let that sit. So, you know, it's the onion and the garlic aren't that strong. And then what I do is I do a big bunch of parsley, some fresh basil, some olive oil, salt and pepper, and I may throw in some orange juice. You know, it's not a big change. You toss that with cheese, grated, a good strong cheddar, a Parmigiano-Reggiano cheese, and you toss that with green beans, broccoli, white potatoes, yellow potatoes, turnips, mm-hmm. Brussels sprouts, grilled onion. You get the idea?
And that, I do, and it's a great idea.
And you can have that sitting in the fridge. And by the way, you can serve all of that at room temperature, and it's fabulous.
You can toss it the last minute and add as you need it, right?
Right, but everything's been done ahead, so all you're doing is warming. And, you know, in mm-hmm. on top of the stove, in the oven, wherever you have space. Another thing I love to do is to go Scandinavian, and there's a sauce I've used for years. The first time I had it was with gravlax, you know, the cured salmon. And what it is lots of grainy, dark mustard, garlic. I add garlic. Scandinavian recipes generally don't have garlic in this. But that, putting that aside, the idea is you have lots of grainy mustard, and then you fold into it some chopped red onion. I like minced garlic. May my Scandinavian friends forgive me. And vinegar and a ton of fresh dill, black pepper, and a little brown sugar to taste. That can sit in the fridge for a week, by the way. You spread that on a piece of bread and it makes a great sandwich. But instead of putting it on salmon, boiled onions, chopped barely boiled red cabbage, green beans, kohlrabi, turnips, cauliflower, broccoli, sweet potatoes or white potatoes. You can just roast some small white potatoes. I use redskins, which nobody roasts. I think it's silly. And you make a slit in them. Take them out, warm them up in the oven, make a slit in them, and just drop some of this in the slit. Put it in a lovely platter, and you're off and running.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely delicious. And that sweet tart combination is really interesting.
That I have another one because, you know, we've talked about this in
the past. In your wheelhouse. This is your wheelhouse. Sweet tart is you.
Yeah, sweet. I believe that the entire world loves sweet tart because when you start getting into cuisines from all over the world, what you find is there's always a sweet tart element. It may have happened 300 years ago, but everybody loves this combination. Now, there's a lot of ways you can do it. One of the things that you can do is pretty straightforward. You take a skillet, right? About 2 cups of vinegar, a tight packed cup of brown sugar, chopped onion, some garlic, lots of black pepper, and you boil that down until it's a syrup. And then you can add chili if you want to. You can add spices, or you can just leave it as is. Now, you can set that aside, okay? But what you do then is, one of the great things to do is it's a basis for baking beans. So for Thanksgiving, take even canned beans. Take chickpeas and Great Northerns.
Cannellinis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And anything, red beans. I don't like kidney beans, but the other red beans, pinto beans, mix them all up. Chop in some bacon if you want to, or keep it vegan and leave out the bacon. But the idea is stir in this sauce you've already made, which, by the way, also keeps in the fridge forever, and put it in a slow oven before you do the turkey. Even do it the day before. And put it in a shallow dish because that means it'll heat up faster just before the meal, and just let that bake until it's sticky and gooey. And then
it's kind of a cheater's baked beans. It's a fast
cheater's
baked bean.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And if you want to add smoke something to it, like even smoked paprika. Remember the trick we used as a substitute for bacon in one of the books we did? I think it was How to Eat Weekends, where it was a matter of smoked Spanish paprika, which tends to be hot. And I think we warmed it in oil. And I don't remember.
We did.
Yeah. And if you do that with
that. We just bloomed that smoky paprika in oil.
Isn't that a wonderful word, bloomed? But if you warm any dry spice, it's going to really come to life. So if that went in that mix and you threw it into beans, I mean, you're home free.
You know, and the beauty of that meal is, you know, the turkey is the foil. We have all this blandness that actually has room for a whole bunch of things. For instance, I was thinking about that David Chang recipe where he basically roasts cauliflower and he dresses it in a fish sauce vinaigrette, essentially a nak chom. And it would be delicious on the Thanksgiving table.
That would be fabulous. You're talking about the classic sauce that has sugar and lime and the fish sauce and I think a bit of garlic and red pepper.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
David's is a little different, I seem to recall, but it's definitely up on the website. And the other thing, what about all of the Middle Eastern spice we're seeing right now, like sumac? Lynn, what would you do with sumac on a Thanksgiving table?
You know, this is something that's so ignored, and I don't know why. This is a spice that is so lemony, and it's a beautiful ruby red color. And this is something that generally is not cooked. I mean, people cook it into dishes. But what I love is, especially on something sweet like carrots, you just sprinkle the sumac and some black pepper and salt on steamed, boiled, or roasted carrots. And you get this, it's better than lemon. Let's put it that way. It's this rich.
Seriously bright.
Yeah, very bright. And it's utterly delicious. It's a natural, of course, with lamb, eggplant, tomatoes, onions, peppers, potatoes. And it's just, it's also, by the way, not a bad thing to rub on a turkey before you cook it. With
That's
olive
a great
oil
idea.
And garlic. Yeah. It's a spice you're seeing more and more of now. But one thing I'd say is I've bought some in a Middle Eastern market, a big bag of it. And when I opened it up, no taste whatsoever. So if you can buy it in a place where you can sniff it first, It should have a really rich lemon aroma. And if it doesn't, it's older, it's stale, it's not good. And you know the other thing that people don't use at Thanksgiving is tamarind.
And, right.
And you can buy a concentrate of it, and it is tart with a bit of sweet, but it's fruity. And this is another case of the sweet-tart combination, and you can work it from so many different angles. What you can do with tamarind is mix it with a little bit of sugar. Throw in dried cranberries. Throw in some chopped onion or something on that order. And if you want, grate some orange into it. And that can be sort of a cranberry sauce.
Yeah, that is a great idea for a cranberry sauce.
Yeah,
it's making my mouth water just thinking about it. It's so bright.
And so unusual. And the thing about tamarind is it just is so full in the mouth. You know, it's fruit and sour with a hint of sweetness. It's not just vinegar and sugar. So this is something to really think about. The other thing is, again, it makes a great rub for a turkey. And it's also wonderful mix with a bit of olive oil and mix with a little bit of lemon and salt and pepper, and then toss vegetables in it and roast them very slowly.
Sounds delicious. Okay, my last question once and for all. Why should we roast a turkey upside down?
Well, in our family, it was right side up, but I don't want to make an issue of it. All right. This was my mother's idea. Okay, everybody roasts it breast up. And by the way, I'm open to debate about this, but I've been doing it for years, and it seems to work. My mother's theory was that the breast is the driest part of the bird, and you want to shield it from heat for as long as possible. But the idea, too, she had was that the back had fat in it, and that would drain into the breast meat. Well, basically, that really can't happen. You know, it's not that the breast meat is like a sponge, but it does protect the breast from dry heat. And I just tend to think it makes it juicier. But you know, the guarantee of really juicy turkey is to brine it, either a dry brine or a wet brine, because that's a safety measure. And one of the great ways, if you're in a hurry to do a turkey, which you and I have done with great laughter, is don't stuff it, but season it however you want. But don't use a lot of sugar in the seasoning. Don't use any sugar, in fact. Set your oven at blast, which equals 450. Put the turkey on a rack and do it 10 minutes to the pound, and then rest it 20 minutes. And the meat's succulent, and the skin is just beyond, you know, it's crisp, it's delicious. It may be a little dark in spots, but if you're in a hurry, that makes a pretty darn good turkey, too.
Sounds great to me, Lynn. So good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That was Sally Swift and the incomparable Lynn Rosetto Casper. You can find Lynn's Do Ahead flavor combinations along with the entire collection of Thanksgiving sides recipes on our website, splendidtable.org. And hey, I want to remind you about Turkey Confidential. It's 2 hours of live culinary triage on the day you need it most, Thanksgiving. Listen on your local public radio station or stream us live from the website, noon to 2 Eastern, where I'll be taking your calls live with help from amazing guests, Dori Greenspan, Samin Nosrat, Patti Hinich, and yes, Lynn will be back as a guest, so it'll be fun, fun, fun. Can't wait. Huge thanks to our presenting sponsor, Bob's Red Mill. With baking season upon us, remember that Bob's Red Mill is a great source for all of your baking needs, from whole grains and flours to foolproof gluten-free baking mixes. Bob's Red Mill has you covered. For more information about all of their products and to check out their baking recipes, visit bobsredmill.com. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and just a reminder, we're grateful for you. Until next time, I'm Francis Lamb.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.